If you've received a birthday card from me in the last year or so, chances are pretty good that you know the passage of scripture that we are going to look at this morning. Because in the last year or so, I've kind of gotten into the habit of writing this prayer into your, into some people's, at least, cards. Not only that, I have very much gotten into the habit of praying this prayer for you. And I do that because I think that this is one of the most important prayers in all of the Bible. In a very real sense, the things that this prayer asks for are the daily bread that we really need every single day. And so I would ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians 1. So Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Colossians 1, 9 through 14 is a prayer that I would love for you to pray for yourself, to pray for one another, to pray for me on a daily basis. So here's the prayer. For this reason, since the day I heard of your, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray that you might, we pray this in order that you might live a life that is worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life. I would love for you to pray that prayer for me. I would love for you to pray that prayer for each other. Now, in Greek, that's one sentence, that prayer. I don't know what English teachers might say about that. but this is a prayer that we break down one sentence into six prayers here. And we have in English, therefore, six very powerful prayers that we can incorporate into our own daily prayer time. So here's what I want you to do as we go back and think about those six powerful prayers. Think of them as prayer requests. You know, we take prayer requests every Sunday morning here. These are six requests that I think every believer can say, please pray this for me. So here we go. First, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Stop for a second. Let me just underline what Paul is saying here. He's writing to a church in Colossae, a church which is much like ours, people that are dear to his heart. And he says, you know what, we have heard of you, and since we have heard of you, we have not stopped praying for you. Right away, that tells us about the importance of consistency and intentionality, right? We live very busy lives. We have a lot going on, and admittedly, sometimes prayer gets shoved to the back burner, right? I mean, in emergency situations, we may like take it and throw it in the microwave and hope we can nuke it, but then, you know, it gets pushed back onto the back burner again. I would love for you, and I think Paul calls us to, pray for one another consistently, intentionally, regularly. Right? Every day, bring your friends, your family, your neighbors, your enemies before the Lord. And pray something like this. We have not stopped praying for you, Paul says, and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, prayer request number one, may God fill you with a knowledge of his will through all spiritual understanding. There's a sense in which that's kind of a redundant prayer, Because in broad strokes, we know the will of God. Right? 1 Timothy says, God's will is that all people will be saved and come to a knowledge of him. Which means, Great Commission, that God's will is that we go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Disciples who will, according to God's will, in 1 John 2, walk as Jesus walked. So there's a very real sense in which we know the broad strokes of God's will for our lives. This prayer, though, that we would have knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, zooms in and says, Lord, give me a sense of my place in that. Show me as a married person or an unmarried person or a man or a woman or a retired person or a worker or a student. Show me what it looks like to work out the details of your will in my own personal life. It's one thing to know the will of God. It's another thing to know how is that going to work in my life. And so we pray for spiritual wisdom and understanding that we might understand it for ourselves. So prayer request one, may God fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and insight. Prayer request number two, verse 10. We pray this. We pray that God will give you a knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you may live a life that is worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Prayer request two, may you live a life that is worthy of the Lord. This is an idea that you see again and again in the New Testament. Here in Colossians, Paul says, may you live a life that is worthy of the Lord. Over in Ephesians 4, may you live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, I urge you to live lives that are worthy of God. What does that say to you? That says that a Christian life is not a ho-hum, everyday sort of thing that you just float along with the tide. We don't just tack being a follower of Jesus onto the end of our lives. It is a high calling. It is a privilege with responsibility. I mean, that much is clear from the verses that come just after today's passage. Look down at verse 12. Paul says, look, God has qualified you. God has made you worthy to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, namely the forgiveness of sins. Think about that. We were separated from God. We were stumbling around in the darkness of sin. And yet, not because we deserved it, but because God is good, he qualified us to come into his presence. He made us his children and his heirs, not because of who we are, but because he is full of love, because he is full of mercy. He reached into the darkness and said, okay, you're my child now. Jesus took a pauper and made a prince out of us. Or princess. That's a high calling for us. Imagine for a minute that Serena Allardyce signed up for the Ancaster Fair Ambassador Program. I checked with her about this. I'm allowed to use her name. And she was Queen of the Furrow, right? Yeah, she was Queen of the Furrow. So, clearly good track record. Imagine that Serena, you know, she's going to be the ambassador of the Ancaster Fair. She's a good country girl, so she wins, right? And then she goes on to the CNE, and she wins there too. So she becomes the ambassador of the fairs. She has this opportunity to travel around and meet important people and advocate on behalf of agribusiness as the ambassador of the fairs. Now, imagine then that Serena gets up at these events and starts advocating for cuts to the agriculture sector. Right? She says, pave paradise and put up a parking lot. Right? Next generation of farmers, don't go into farming. You should go into like coding or Uber driving or something like that. You know what we should all do, Serena says? We should open up the borders to cheap American imports so that we can just get off of the farm and into the city and, for goodness sakes, shut down the dairy industry. Her dad drives a milk truck. Would that be worthy of the calling to which she has been called? No. Right? It is a privilege. It is an honor to be an ambassador of the fair, to speak on behalf of them. They have given her the authority in this example to speak on their behalf, to represent them to the world, to live up to the high calling of being an ambassador of the fair. Same for us as believers. We have been given a high calling as a once pauper, now prince, child of God. It is a privilege for us to be able to be God's children. And so God intends for us to live in such a way that we reflect his goodness in the world, that people see his character in us. And so that's why Paul prays, may you live a life that is worthy of the Lord. And just on a personal note, this is really foundational in my own life. Like, I know where I came from. I know what my past is like, what my spiritual past is like. I look at how God forgave me, how God lifted me up out of it and gave me that love that I didn't deserve. That makes me want to live up to that calling. Not to earn God's favor. I've already got God's favor. But I want to live a life that is worthy of him because I know what he has given me. So prayer request number two, may we live lives that are worthy of the Lord. Three, what does that look like? What does a life worthy of the Lord look like? That's a good question. And I think Paul answers that for us. The next four things paint for us, the next four prayer requests paint for us what a life that is worthy of the Lord looks like. So verse 10, prayer request number three. May you bear fruit in every good work. A life that is worthy of the Lord will bear fruit in keeping with the character of God. I think John 15. Remember, I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who remains in me will bear much fruit. The point here is that we as children of God would give ourselves to the task of bearing fruit, doing good things that reflect the character of God to be a blessing to other people. It's pretty straightforward. And Wee grammar nerd alert here. The verb form that Paul uses here is a participle. Remember participles? Running, jumping, flying, swimming. Participles are all about ongoing action. And so Paul prays here that we would not just do good things because they're a nice thing to do. Not that we would do nice things every once in a while because it's a nice thing to do. But that we would keep on bearing fruit out of the overflow of our time spent with Jesus. So that's prayer request number three. May we bear good fruit in every good deed. May we continuously and ongoingly give ourselves to doing good. Prayer request four, again, verse 10. May you grow in the knowledge of God. And again, this is a participle. So really, may you keep on growing in the knowledge of God. We've prayed in this prayer already that God would give us a knowledge of his will. Now we're praying, God, give us a greater sense of who you are. I've never figured out people who think they've got God all figured out. They reach a point and they say, oh, okay, well, I've got enough of it. I understand I'm getting that. I've been following Jesus for 20 years. I've been to seminary. I've read my Bible to the point that the cover has fallen off twice. And yet I feel like I've scratched the surface of who God is. And so we need to keep praying, God, let us go deeper in understanding, in the knowledge of you. My prayer for myself and for you is that you would grow in the knowledge of God. That's the fourth prayer request. Number five, may you be strengthened with all power and according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. Again, this is a participle. So may the very power of God strengthen you day by day. so that you will have great endurance and patience. And I'll tell you, this is a prayer that I have prayed personally for so many of you. At the death of a loved one, or sickness, or a hard time, this is what I pray. I often don't know what to pray, but I can pray that God take his infinite supernatural power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, gave him new life again. I pray that God would take that power and put it to work in your life so that you would endure, so that you would have patience to get through whatever it is that you are going through. God doesn't always pull us out of situations that are difficult, but he certainly helps us through situations that are difficult. And it's there that we come to know him more. So I pray that you would be strengthened with the very power of God for endurance and for patience. And finally, prayer request number 6, may you joyfully give thanks to the Father. The Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And guess what verb form it is? It's a participle. So may you continually and joyfully give thanks to the Lord for what he has done. He has rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness, made us co-heirs with Christ, given us the promise of eternity. Let the knowledge of that overflow as joy in your heart. So, 6 powerful prayers that you can pray for yourself, for me, for others. To pull it all together, let me give you one kind of big idea here that I think lies at the heart of this prayer. There are 6 individual prayers, but I think they all say the same thing. May you live a Jesus-shaped life. Right, 6 prayers, I think, asking this thing. May you live a Jesus-shaped life. There are 2 meanings that I have to that. First, the prayers that you see here in Colossians, I think, ask God, help me to live a life that looks like Jesus. Right? Like, Wile E. Coyote comes running through a wall, and what do you see left in the wall? The shape of him, right? The hole looks like Wile E. Coyote. Our lives need to look like Jesus. We pray that our lives would look like Jesus, that we would be shaped in Jesus' way, that we would walk as he did, that we would bear fruit as he did, that we would be strengthened by the same divine power that strengthened him. The prayer here is that we would look like Jesus in all that we do, that when people look at us, they would see an expression of who Jesus is now in human form through our unique personalities and circumstances. So may you live a life that is, may you live a Jesus-shaped life. That's the one meaning. The other is this. May you live a Jesus-shaped life motivated by what he did. Right? It is shaped by, in the sense that I see what Jesus has done, and so it gives me purpose. What motivates you? What motivates you to do nice things, or to come to church, or to pray, or to read your Bible? Is it the sense that it's a nice thing to do? Or is it an understanding of what Jesus has done for you and accomplished in your life? God has poured out a blessing on us. So live a life that is worthy of that, joyfully giving thanks for it, growing to know the one who has saved you more and more. May the contours and priorities of your life be motivated by the things that Jesus has already done. May your heart be moved and motivated by the love that Jesus has for you, shaped by Jesus, so that you will look like him in all that you do. To close here, I just want to share one more thought, and it's this. Birthday cards are not the only thing that I've written this into. When we've dedicated children here at Langford, I've gotten into the habit of taking a verse of scripture and framing it with a prayer for that child's life. And this is one of the prayers that I have used. So some of you have this prayer in a frame in your home right now. I do this because I think that this is a prayer that can shape a life. Can you imagine if you prayed these words even once a week for someone over the course of their life? Imagine what God could do through that person. So take this prayer, treat it like it's prayer requests that you can pray for one person or for a bunch of people, for your children, for your family, for yourself. Ask God for what we truly need, a life that is shaped and motivated by the love of God. May you live a Jesus-shaped life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Paul and the model that he has set for us, the example that we can follow. God, I pray that you would help us to keep on praying for one another. We often think of doing good things for one another. Such a simple thing and yet so powerful is to pray for one another. So Lord, may it be true that we not stop praying for one another. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us knowledge of your will through all spiritual insight and wisdom. Lord, we know that your plans are good and perfect, and so we pray that you will help us to see your will. We pray, let your kingdom come, and we pray, Lord, give us spiritual insight and knowledge so that we will know what your kingdom coming in our lives will look like. Help us to live out your will. May we live a life that is worthy of the calling, the gift that you have given to us as once sinners, now saints. Lord, we want to honor you for what you have done for us so freely. So may we live lives that are worthy of you, bearing fruit in all that we do. Not just because it's a nice thing to do, but because as we spend time with you, we inevitably overflow with the desire to care for one another, to bless one another. I pray, Lord, that we would grow to know you more and more, that we would hunger for time spent with you in prayer, in reading our Bible. I pray, Lord, that you would give us greater and deeper insight into who you are. We would never stop learning more about our spouse or our children. We want to know you better, and I pray that you would help us in that. And I pray that you would help us to be strengthened for patience and endurance. Lord, your power is infinite. Your might is glorious. And so we pray that you will help us to walk through whatever comes in our lives. And may we give thanks, Lord, with all that we are, understanding the great gift that you have given us and overflowing with joy and gratitude because of it. Lord, in all of this, may we live Jesus-shaped lives, not to try and prove ourselves to you, but because you have already poured out your commitment upon us. And so when people look at us, Lord, may they see Jesus expressed in our personality and in our character. We pray these things for your glory, Lord, and for our building up. In Jesus' name. Amen.